to execute 57 of Ophelia's citizens. One of them ripped his shirt open. Ragged-looking letters were visible on his bare chest.
F, F, Nikolai said. What does that mean?
Ophelia felt a surge of anger as the synths opened fire. Someone should have checked. Someone was going to pay. It means he was a traitor, she said. A bad man who would kill us if he could. Nikolai stared at the screen as the last person fell. He wasn't shocked. Why would he be? At his mother's insistence, he'd been watching the Friday afternoon executions for months. Because, as she put it, a future emperor must be strong.
Why?
Nikolai wanted to know.
Why do they want to kill us?
Because they want what we have, Ophelia answered simply. They want our money, our possessions, and our power. Ophelia watched as one of her functionaries appeared on the screen and began to talk about the need to support the government, especially during a time of war.
The Hudathens attacked Orlo too, he said sternly, and they would have won had it not been for Empress Ophelia and her leadership.
That wasn't strictly true, since Ophelia hadn't been there. But it was fair. She had sent the Legion to Orlo II to put down a revolt, and they'd been able to stop the Hudathens. Nikolai turned to look at her. She could see something of his father in the boy's eyes. Not her secretary, as many people assumed, but a man selected based on a lengthy list of qualifications. A man who had been killed 3 months into her pregnancy, lest he try to influence the boy later on.
Mother.
Yes?
The copies make my head hurt.
Ophelia felt a surge of guilt, but pushed it away. Her brother had been weak. Too weak for an emperor. Nikolai would be strong, and thanks to the digitized personalities that had been downloaded into his brain, he would be wise beyond his years. Unfortunately, the eight minds with whom the boy was forced to coexist could be quite contentious at times, and their arguments gave him headaches.
I'm sorry,
Ophelia said sympathetically, but your advisors were great men and women. Later, when you're all grown up, you'll be grateful for them. But right now, you have something important to do. Nikolai looked hopeful.
Can I ride my pony?
Ophelia stood and offered her hand. Yes, you can. Nikolai took her hand, and together they walked through a pair of French doors and out into the bright sunshine. Rex Carletto lived in the deeps, the name given to the levels of habitat below the city of Los Angeles, and the streets that were controlled by the government. There had been two attempts to sanitize the labyrinth of underground nightclubs, casinos, and brothels during the last few months, but neither one had been successful. The invaders had been no match for the denizens of the deeps, who had consistently outmaneuvered them. The result was an uneasy standoff in which the authorities controlled what went on above ground, and what the government called the criminal element continued to hold sway down below. That made the deeps the perfect place for rebels like Rex, a man who was number 2998 on the government's death list and had been forced into hiding. The deeps weren't safe, however. Far from it. The warren of dives, weapons dealers, and sweatshops was lousy with lice, meaning men and women willing to sell a reb for some suck points or a handful of credits. So as Rex exited the flophouse where he had spent the previous night, he paused to look around. There were no municipal authorities or taxes in the deeps, so there were very few services. Just those that the owners of various businesses saw fit to provide because doing so benefited them. So the streets were littered with trash, and rats were a common sight. But Rex was worried about a different kind of vermin. That's why his hand strayed to the crossdraw holster as he eyed the people in the immediate vicinity. Two drunks were staggering toward a bar, a prostitute in a dayglow dress was lighting a dope stick, and the beggar two doors down was looking his way. Rex stuck a hand into his pocket, gathered all of the coins there, and dumped them into the beggar's cup as he passed by. She was little more than a head, a torso, and one mechanical arm. An ex-soldier, perhaps, or an accident victim left to rot.